Welcome to Lagniappe, a news feature of KEDM Public Radio with information on issues and events. I'm Bob Lennox, joined in studio today by Jan Corder, President and CEO of the Living Well Foundation. Jan, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
And we have a lot of great things going on with the Living Well Foundation. First, for those who may not be familiar with it, Jan, if you would explain a little bit about how the foundation was created and what exactly it does.
Living Well Foundation was created from the proceeds from the sale of Glenwood Hospital. When a nonprofit is sold to a for-profit agency, then the proceeds from that go into a foundation, and we use those to provide the interest from that money to provide grants to organizations in our community who are dealing with health-related situations.
And a lot of those initiatives that are ongoing, we'll talk about those in just a little bit. But first, you had attended some conferences talking about foundations and other nonprofits and how they plan and things of that nature. Tell us a little bit about what you found out from those conferences you attended.
The foundation belongs to the Southeastern Council of Foundations. This is a group from the Southeastern United States of nonprofits and foundations that have similar interests. And in the spring, in March, I attended the specific interest group within that for Health Legacy Foundations, which is the kind of foundation that we are. And there are quite a number in the southeastern part of the United States who came about the same way we came about. Mm-hmm. And we have similar issues that we like to deal with, and this particular one was for presidents and trustees, they call them. Ours are called board members. Mm-hmm. But so presidents and board members got together to discuss things like board governance. How do you orient new board members? How do you get members of the community to be interested in being a board member? And how do you help them to learn what it is a board member does once they get there? How to plan for that? Because as we do, a lot of others have rotating board terms. So Periodically people rotate off, or periodically their work situation changes or their life situation changes and they have to leave. And so when we get a new board member, how do we get them up to speed, so to speak, with what's going on? And the other issue that we dealt with was succession planning for presidents and CEOs. You know, we're not there for life either. And what would happen if I suddenly became ill and had to leave? How do you plan for that? When I retire,
right?
Again, for the second time.
So, what were some of the good ideas? Because really, this not only applies to foundations such as yours, but also other nonprofit organizations that may face a similar situation. You know, ideas as far as having that strategic plan in place, or you know, what were some of the things brought up?
Well, that's one of the suggestions was making sure that part is included in your strategic plan, and that your strategic plan is a working document, not something you do once a year and sit on the shelf and till it's time mm-hmm. to look at it and update it again, but to make sure that it is a working document that guides things, and also to try to include members of the community who might be interested in special projects that might fit their interests, so that they can learn a little bit more about the organization. We also have an advisory council.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes people from the advisory council who know a little bit about what the foundation does, and they advise us on certain things, will then sometimes we can, and other foundations have moved those people over to be board members and groomed them mm-hmm. as they are there.
Yeah, with the Living Well Foundation, of course, with the grants to several health initiatives in our area. There was a little bit of question, kind of a little snafu that came up with a conflict of interest to where, you know, there was a question raised, but really just getting that funding into place and kind of having the board there to make that vote, correct?
Right, right. If we our bylaws call for any appearance of conflict of interest to be discussed and determined by the board, is it a true conflict of interest or not? Mm-hmm. And at our May meeting, when we approved all of our grants from the spring cycle, we had a smaller number. All of our board members could not attend that day, and we did have for one of the grants a conflict of interest, and by the time that person then was not able to vote, we didn't have enough to vote on that particular grant. So we had to have a meeting on another day when everybody could get there, and it was understood that we all wanted to do that one. We just couldn't make it official until right. we had enough people there to say it's official.
So everything is well and intact for the initiatives that are...
Everything is on go, and we've gotten grant agreements signed, and we've got checks written and out, and so people are on the way to... three of them were continuing projects, and one was a new project. So everybody is on their way now.
And quickly, Grantmakers in Health, tell us a little bit about that.
I attended the Grantmakers in Health conference. We are not members. It's quite expensive to be a member, but they will allow you to come as a guest one time. So I went, since it was at the same place in the same hotel as the other conference. And this is Grantmakers who give grants in the health field from all over the United States, from the very small ones like us to the very big ones like Kellogg Foundation.
Right. Jan, a number or website if folks would like to find out more information about Living Well Foundation.
Our phone number is 323-7991, and our website is Living Well Foundation, all spelled out and run together, .net.
Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.